Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word that is about ready to be shared, Lord. We pray, Father, that you teach us today. Lord, that it reaches our heart and soul. Lord, that we understand the depths of being rooted in community. Lord, thank you for the people that are gathered here, those who are listening online. Father, we just thank you for your teaching today. In Jesus' name, amen. So good morning, church. It's a great day at the river. Hallelujah. And we welcome everyone here and those who are listening online. And we're going to open up the Word of God together today and just take a deeper look at His truth. And we are ending our series today called Rooted. Rooted in Community is the title today. And there are so many benefits to having deep foundational roots in the grace and love of God. And so we heard this week one, Brother Dave Harris came and talked to us about being rooted in sharing. And we learned about the importance of taking every opportunity to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And recognizing that we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And so we have a message as an ambassador to share with other people. Someone say amen. We enjoyed having Brother Dave. Hallelujah. And then week two was rooted in faith. And Prophetess Vernella was with us. And we enjoyed Prophetess Vernella teaching us about how faith transforms our lives. And it helps us live our lives to honor God and to bless other people around us. And our faith is shown to the world by the fruit that's in our lives. And so, rooted in faith. And then last week, we took a deep dive with Elder Jim into prayer and Bible study. Enjoyed the message so much. The importance of being rooted in Bible study and prayer. And he taught us it helps us to grow into the people God created us to be. And also helps us to be successful. Amen? Amen. So, are you with me? So, we're ending this series today by teaching on just the beauty and the joy of the church when you're rooted in community. And so, I wanted to start out by showing you a couple of pictures. You can just put up the first picture. This is a picture of a redwood tree in California. Our daughter, Teresa, she's married to Pat Cummings' son, David, and they took their family to the redwood forest this summer. And she sent us some pictures of the redwood forest. She said that, that it's difficult to capture the magnitude of these trees because they are the largest living things on earth. And they're the tallest trees in the world. And some of them are 300 feet high, and some of them are 2,500 years old. Would you show us the next picture? Okay, so do you see the Cummings family at the bottom of that tree? Do you see them? That's David and Teresa and the kids. How little they are. She said it's just unbelievable when you get in this forest and just the greatness of these trees. And so I think there was one more tree. Okay. God designed us for fellowship and connection. So you would think that these trees' roots would go very, very deep to be able to stabilize these very, very tall trees. But they don't. If you get down and look at them, they are all intertwined together. And it's more of a shallow root system, but the trees are all intertwined together, so they lock each other into place. And when the storms have come and the winds blow and the lightning comes, they remain firm because they are locked together and they protect each other and they support each other. And so each tree is very important for all of the other trees in the grove. Isn't that a beautiful example? Thank you, Lord, because that is how everyone is within the church, within the body. Everyone is a vital part. Not one person can navigate life on their own. We were never made to do life alone. But the Bible speaks about how God designed us to have fellowship and to be connected. And when we're rooted in community, we're a blessing to others in need. We can also have a powerful impact on the world when churches hook together with other churches to accomplish God's mission around the globe. And I'm so thankful that we are rooted with Christian International and our network of churches that expands the whole globe. Yes, we are so thankful for that. We were with Jim and Judy not too long ago, and they oversee the international churches, and there's like 5,000 churches internationally that we support. And there's just so much connected. You see, haven't even begun to, I don't think our church really understands the magnitude and the significance of what we're connected with. Hallelujah. It's a strong support system, and that's what we have within this church, everyone being connected. So the first thing we want to talk about this morning in community, A, would be to know and play your part. Paul understood the value of living in community, and in the book of Romans, he encouraged the church to play its part in the family of God. And his words are helpful as we look at them today as they were back then. So Romans 12, 3 through 8, let's read it together. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So this passage begins with a life-changing advice from the Apostle Paul. He was telling his listeners to do a sober self-assessment because there was trouble brewing in the church, because there were members with inflated egos, and not much has changed since the first century. Everyone smile. We still struggle at times to live in community without feeling the need to elevate ourselves over others. And you know, that isn't common in this church because God's been faithful to weed that out of us. There's no need to, we know we all have our place, right? There's no competition because we all have a place that God designed for us within the body. But it can get very political within churches and people trying to elevate themselves over people. And I remember growing up, there were always, not just growing up, but even after I was married, there were always men trying to tell me what to do. They were trying to tell me how to dress, trying to tell me how to sing, trying to tell me how to take care of my children. And I would simply share with them, you're not my husband. Men are not in charge of all women. The husband is the head of the wife. And when we come into the church, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and there's neither male nor female within the church. And so It's interesting how you deal with so many different situations. Are people, you know, I sang a lot. And so people would be jealous and they would want to compete and they would want my solos. Well, I didn't ask for any of those solos. You know, they were given to me. It wasn't like I was politicking to get them. It's a lot of work to be a soloist. Hallelujah. So just recognizing we don't have to be competitive, and I'm so thankful that we've been able to weed that out of our church. I'm not saying we didn't ever have that, because we have. And it's not very much fun, and there's not much unity, because God called us all to work together. He called us all to take our place. And you all have a place, and we don't have to compete for that place because you can't fit in it. I remember the Lord gave me a vision once of people. They were trying to get through these openings, and because of the equipment that they had on them, they wouldn't fit through these openings. And I said, Lord, that is really strange, because, I mean, people were really struggling. But they wanted a place that didn't belong to them, because they weren't equipped to go through that door. Does that make sense? They couldn't go through there because that's not the door God designed for them. They were wearing different equipment, different talents, different gifts, different abilities. They had to find their own door because you can't take someone's place. There's no one like Roxanne. No one can take Roxanne's place. Hallelujah. You hear what I'm saying? Now, there may be other people that do flags, but they can't do them like Roxanne, because Roxanne does the flags the way she's been anointed by the Lord to do them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Elder Jim is a wonderful Bible teacher. We love to hear him teach. But there are other Bible teachers that they don't teach like Elder Jim, because they're not Elder Jim. So what I love about the River of Life is we let people be people. We're not trying to make you into something that you're not. We don't want to produce clones. We were in a church that was more like producing clones. You know, everybody wanted to be like so-and-so. And they would dress like so-and-so. Well, you don't have to do that here. Hallelujah. Be who God called you to be. Grow in what God gave to you. Let your talents develop and recognize you're an important member of the body of Christ, but you're not better than anybody else. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So one of my favorite things to do is to put together jigsaw puzzles, picture puzzles. Does anybody else like to put together puzzles? And I think I just got that because growing up, my mom always had a puzzle on the table. Always had a puzzle on the table. Because you know what? We didn't have phones. We didn't have computers. You know, kids needed something to do, so we would go sit at the table and work on puzzles. But there was always a rule. You had to find all of the frame pieces first. Is that right? Was that a rule in anybody else's house? All right. You had to find all those first, and then we could start, you know, kind of dividing up pieces and then start putting them in. But, you know, it would be so disappointing when you got to the end of the puzzle and a piece was missing. I remember I was putting a puzzle together. One of the girls were dating. All right. One of our daughters were dating, and I was putting a puzzle together, and I got to the very last piece, and the piece was not there. You know, and the kids are older now, and I'm thinking, where would that piece be? Well, one of the girls' boyfriends had taken that piece, and when he found out I was down to the last piece, he snuck in and he put that piece in. Don't you just want to put in the last piece? But putting everything together, God has a design. So the function, it's the same. It's the truth for the church. We all have a place. And we all complete one another. And Paul explained how important it is, because God gifted each person with a unique set of skills and talents that complement the gifts of the other. So alone, you can go fast. But together, we can go far. And that is why we established our church from the very beginning as a team ministry. We work together as a team, because together, everyone accomplishes more. And so the church is a body that has hands and feet and eyes and ears. We sang about it this morning. And without these parts of the body, the other parts suffer. So God has given different gifts to different people. You know, some are speaking prophetic words. Not everyone is called to prophesy. Not everyone is called to preach and teach. There is an ability that God gives to people to preach and to teach. And the gift of encouragement. Don't you love that gift of encouragement? You know, when I first met Leslie Lauver, I knew I loved her because she's such an encourager. If you need encouragement, go see Leslie. She will encourage you in the Lord. And then the ability to give generously, you know? And we've had very generous people contribute to the ministry and faithful tithers in the house of the Lord. And that's why we have what we have. Because, you know, when you give, God gives back to you. And when you're faithful and in covenant, when a people are in covenant with God, the Lord says, you're not going to lack any good thing. He's going to make sure you have what you need. And he's been so faithful to us. So when everyone does their part, and we do it humbly, we don't give to show off. We don't give to brag about it. We give because we love the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And when people see that, it becomes a witness. When people see us working together, it becomes a witness of the power and the love of God. And it's interesting, in the church growth seminars we have attended, one of the things that they said, the reason people will come back is after they sit there and watch how you treat one another. They watch how people interact more than they come back for the good music or for the wonderful preaching. It is more about how this community relates to each other. Isn't that interesting? People want to belong somewhere. People are desperate to belong. They are looking for someone that will accept them. I was reading a research article this week about the decline in church attendance. And they said so many of the younger generation won't go to church because they feel like they're judged and people are being critical of them. And you know, God's called you to a high standard. That's wonderful. But don't push that standard off on everybody else. Or judge people according to what God's called you to. You know, when you take our new members class, you'll find out you have gifts and strengths and abilities. And you will automatically judge people based on your strengths. But the sad thing is you have a big 2x4 in your eye and you don't see your weaknesses. That's the truth. So as soon as we start judging and criticizing someone according to what God has asked us to do, then we're in trouble. The scripture clearly tells us there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. And when I think of that, I believe we're forgiven of our sins and we're all growing at a different pace and in a different place. I was thinking about that this week when I was studying this lesson. I'm like, you know, I have a lot of Bible college, and I'm an overachiever, and I'll prepare, take this class, I got to take another class, and then I have to take more because I'm not sure if I'm ready. And it goes on and on. And so if you wanted to pray on our prayer team when you first started, there were at least 5 courses you had to go through, or you could not be on the prayer team. And the Lord got after me because he said, Janet, I called you to do that. I didn't call everyone that serves within your church to do that. I have a passion for prayer. I want to know how to pray. I don't want to take people into a battle they're not ready to handle. Hallelujah. I don't want to put them in a situation to pray that they're not ready for that. You know, we can't judge people by the standard God has called us to. Now, there is a standard in the Word, absolutely. But based upon our gifts and our talents and the call that is upon your life, God is going to require more of you. Where much is given, much is required. So the more you learn, the more you're required to give. Does that make sense? So anyway, I lowered the standard in the sense that you had to take all these classes before you could pray on a prayer team. There is still things to learn to be on the prayer team. And if you have a passion to be on the prayer team, then you need to let us know so that we can work on that for training and equipping. That's what we do here at the River of Life, because we're not just going to release just anyone in the church to do whatever they want. And not everybody prophesies. If someone is prophesying to you and they're not on a prophetic team, then you should ask them to please. We want to be with a leader or someone on the team before you release that word. That is the guidelines of Christian International. And so no renegades in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. You can get yourself in a lot of trouble for that. And we're always ready to prophesy and pray. Those that are equipped to do that. We've gone through that door. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? Wave at me. You know, I'm getting on people just a little bit, but sometimes we've got to have just a little more order in the house, and that's part of my call, is to set order. So Romans 12, 9 to 13 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually, steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." So sincere love makes us authentic. It fuels us. Like to seek and to destroy evil. It keeps us committed to showing up in one another's lives. We want to be there for one another. Love helps us put others' needs ahead of our own, the same way Jesus did when he went to the cross on our behalf. And love makes us excited to serve God by serving others. Paul ended this portion of his letter by telling his listeners to practice hospitality. And I believe this is one of the most valuable and overlooked gifts that exist in the church. And some of the most powerful experiences I've ever had within church has come from the hospitality people have shown me who love Jesus. Has anyone else experienced that? Wasn't the prophetic word they spoke, wasn't the prayer that they prayed, but it was the hospitality that they showed. It's that love and acceptance that pulls you into the body of Christ. It is being able to belong to a group of people. We learned early on when we started the church that the gang members were in gangs because they wanted to belong to a group of people. But once they got intertwined with this gang, it was really difficult to get out. And some of them paid a hard price to get out. From beatings and just being hurt by the gang. So it's important to provide a place where people can belong and worship God. So when we demonstrate to love to people around us, it changes things. Love changes things. Love covers a multitude of sins. What it does is it makes the invisible God visible to people who are far from him. It makes the invisible God visible when we show love. So love should be our go-to, and it should play out in our hospitality that we show others, and we should have, we planted the church on this, love in action. Hallelujah. Our love needs to be in action when people come. And I pray a lot of people come, talking about the Taste of the Nations. It'd be wonderful to have a lot of people here. Last year we had so much food. Do you remember? Oh my goodness. We could have fed half of Elkhart, I think. We had so much food. And so I encourage you to get out and bring somebody with you to that. And so my last point on C is we don't do life alone. And the scripture says the church is not a human society of people united by their natural affinities, but the body of Christ, in which all members, whoever different, must share the common life, complementing and helping one another precisely by their differences. And that was by C.S. Lewis. So when the early church began to form after Jesus' death and resurrection, it faced all kinds of trials. It faced all kinds of persecution. And out of necessity, people gathered together inside churches and inside houses, and they bonded together to help each other because God's vision for his people was never for them to do life alone. And so we're going to have some people come up and share this morning on the value of being connected in community. And I'm going to ask Angela, she's back on the computer, but if she would just come on down. And she was going to share the value that she experienced of being connected here at the church. And so you can just come up here. And
so when I shared my testimony about a month ago, I shared that I've been with the River now for about 20 years, and that was in 2003 when I started attending. But in 2005, one day I was in my car, and all of a sudden I heard the Lord say, "This is your family now." And at the time, my dad was still alive, and I thought, well, I still have my dad. But I didn't realize what God was really saying, because he passed away in 2011. And I came across a scripture one day when I was reading, and it's Psalm 68:6, which says, you know, God sets the solitary or the lonely in families. And I realized, you know, even when my dad was sick and he was dying, there were times where I felt so crushed under the weight of it, of his sickness and helping him. I didn't think I was going to make it, but I did, because I had all of you praying for me. We're not here to do life alone. That's why God said he placed us in a family. So don't ever think that you're alone, because you're not. We're here to help one another.
Amen. Amen. At this time, Wendy, you can hand that off to Wendy. And I didn't ask them. These ladies volunteered to share the value of being connected.
So I've been in the South for quite a while, but my roots are here. This is where I grew up. And I thought I was just coming back for my family personally. But what I found was that the Lord kept putting Pastor Janet and Pastor Leonard on my heart. And I'll tell you, the Lord has brought me to a church family home. Not just a personal, but it is personal. But I mean, still, it's amazing what God does. And he had been moving in my heart for a long time. But what he did was he started putting love in my heart for different areas in our community. And my heart has so much love for this community and what he wants to do. And it's the love that he shed abroad in my heart. And I love in the Passion Translation, in Romans 13, it's verse 10a, it says, love makes it impossible to harm another. So it's all about the love, you know. And I feel so much love here. And all of you are so gracious. I just love you dearly. And it is my family home. And I'm so grateful. So praise God.
Amen. I don't know if Jen, all good, you're in. Thank you. And Jen's going to thank you, Wendy. We're so glad you're here. And you know, it is all about love. I remember my mom telling me that lots of times. It's all about love.
All right. So what's really been on my heart as we first came into the church, one of the main scriptures that the Lord had spoken to me is that I was made for such a time as this. And at that moment, I didn't understand what that fully meant. I didn't grow up in church, but as soon as I walked through the church doors, I knew we were home. And it's been spoken over our church for many years that we are the is at the Philadelphia Church with Brotherly Love, and that's exactly who we are. We extend such love and grace and mercy to those walking into these doors, and it is only because we are pliable in His hands as we walk through the doors. And so as I've grown and learned and have been taught, I feel as though I'm part of this church community because I have applied myself to the things within this church, within this community. When they offer something, then I extend myself to learn and to be taught and to sit under the counsel that the Lord has provided for us. So it's as we are being taught and how we learn, then we grow to learn how we need to extend that love to others. So that's what I got.
Thank you for sharing. You can put it right back on that stand over there. Let's give them a hand. We appreciate their sharing this morning. Amen. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we have another verse, and I'll read through it. Acts 2, 42 to 47 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." So in this passage, we see one of the just a really clear view of what it was like to be a part of the Jesus movement in the book of Acts. And people regularly gathered for fellowship and teaching and eating and worship. Their faith was central to their daily lives. They were witnesses to the amazing, miraculous things that God did among them. And, you know, we could tell endless stories of the miracles that God has done within our church family. You know, we finished up 27 years, and we're going on 28. We're started already into 28 years. And our theme for this year, 28, is believe for it. Believe for it. We're going to believe for it. We're going to stand together, connected together, supporting one another, believing for it. Whatever it is that you have need of, we're believing for it because our God is able. And as we connect ourselves together and we're connected to Him, He's the vine and we're the branches. As we're connected into Him and we abide in Him, we just thank God for the miracles, signs and wonders. So many people healed of cancer. So many people healed of heart trouble. So many people restored, drug addicts, prostitutes, people who sell drugs. We had a couple in the church when we were downtown that every time they turned in their offering, it smelled like weed. It was their pot money. They sold weed. I know. It's sanctified. We had to pray over that. Ooh, you smell that? It's like being in Michigan. You know, I went to a concert up in Michigan, and you're sitting in the park, and all of a sudden you get a whiff of Michigan. I'm getting pulled off on a bunny trail. But people need Jesus. And we're here not only to meet the needs of our church within our community, but we're here to meet the needs of the community outside this place. If we're not careful, we'll lose sight of our mission and our purpose as the church in the earth. It is to take care of and serve broken people who are lost. And it's not easy. Tell someone it's not easy. You got lost people living right in your house, some of you. It's not easy to serve lost people. But that's what we're called to do. So the important aspect of this message today is that the scripture says it was because of their community witness that the church grew. So day after day, there were people outside of the family of God who were being added and saved by faith because they saw the results of living faithfully for God. Our lives should represent the results of living faithfully for God as our community is on the outside looking in at our community. And so they wanted to be a part of that. They wanted to be a part of the family of God. They wanted to be a part, and they wanted to bond together with them to take care of them. So in closing, there's a quote by Jennifer Rothschild that says, "Our joys will be doubled and our sorrows will be reduced, and we will walk our life in community with the body of Christ. When you are with someone else, you are not nearly as willing to give up. So find a friend, be honest, and walk together." So my question is just some things to think about. What kind of a witness are we sending to our outside world? And are we living in the kind of a community that other people would want to join? And do you think our community is a better place because we meet every Sunday? And do you think people in our area would miss us if we were not here? So when we live as a community rooted in love and humility, the answer would be yes. We provide something for this community as a church. I don't know if you drive by during the week, but the parking lot is full. And we thank God for that. That's the season we're in. It doesn't mean he's going to have us in that season forever, but it is the season that we are in. And so we are thankful that while we are able to, we can provide a place for our community. And we are thankful for our River of Life family this morning. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this message. I pray, Lord, that you root us together. You hook us together, Lord. You can only do that supernaturally as we're willing to be connected as the body of Christ, Lord. Bless the River of Life. Thank you, Lord, for 27 years. Thank you, Lord, for your adding on to us, Lord, in these 28. Lord, we're believing for it. We're believing for miracles. We're believing, Lord, for healings. We're believing for salvations. We're believing, Lord, that we'll take territory. Lord, we believe, Father, you've given us authority in this territory. As apostles in this territory, Lord, you've established us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for you've done that work, Lord. You've done the work, Lord, over 27 years. We've just said, yes, Lord, we've been your hands, your feet. Lord, thank you for all of those who have participated, Lord, to accomplish your will and your plan for this territory, Lord. Continue to bless the families in this church. Bless them and strengthen them, Lord. Encourage them, Lord. Be a peacemaker within their households, Lord. Let the joy of the Lord fill their hearts, Lord, and their children, Lord, and their children's children, Father. We thank you, Lord. We pray for strong families, Lord. Strong families, Lord. Strong men and women that will stand for truth, Lord. Thank you, Father, for every person. Lord, like we saw those trees this morning, those your word talks about us as being oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we stand as mighty oaks, Lord, as trees that are planted by the living water, Lord. Water us, Lord. Continue to water us, Lord, and nourish us. And we ask these things in your mighty name. And the church said,
amen,
amen, amen.